Hi, I'm Jeff Jones, and you're listening to The Monarchists.
Welcome back, Monarch Nation. Today we are joined by ODU alum and your new basketball coach, Mike Jones. Welcome to the show, Coach.
Thanks for having me, guys. I'll never get tired of hearing that. This is a dream come true for me.
Coach, thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it. We got to imagine the last couple of weeks have had to be a little bit surreal. How are you getting settled so far?
Things are going great. As I mentioned at the press conference, we started with a 30-day plan, and we're coming upon the end of that 30 days, and we're right where we expected to be, maybe even a couple of days early. Getting ready to jump into our first 90-day plan, and we're excited about that. That will deal with a lot of whether or not we're successful next year. We're ready to jump in.
So you mentioning the 30 and 90-day plan really leads well into our next question. I imagine one of the first steps had to be program evaluation. Was there anything you highlighted of things that needed to be fixed so you could reach your goals?
You know what? To be honest with you, program evaluation beyond finalizing what we were going to do with the staff, beyond finalizing, you know, the roster and things like that, but other things. This is a great place, great facilities, great leadership, people that I believe we can win with. So in terms of the evaluation of what the program is, obviously some things need to be changed, or I'll say things need to be made to fit myself and the staff that are coming in, but this is a place that is built to be able to win. And when it comes to evaluating what's gone on in the past, I think we're built to be able to get this turned around and turned around pretty quickly. So as long as we can get the roster that we need to be able to do that, I like our chances.
All right. We'll probably come back to that in a little bit, Coach. Okay. I want to talk a little bit about fan engagement. I know that's something that's really important to you. I know that's something that Mike and I work really hard to do. Season tickets, the golf tournament, the tip-off dinner. Talk to us about fan engagement and kind of what some of your vision is with regard to that.
Well, I think the main thing is, and I don't want to continue to say the same thing over and over again, but I mean, I truly mean it. We want to put a team on the floor that the community is proud of and that they want to root for. So myself and the rest of my staff being able to get out as much as we can this spring just to connect with people. For myself and Odell Hodge, this is the coolest thing ever because we're meeting some people that we knew already. Some people that can tell us stories about them watching us play. Obviously, Odell's impact in that realm is going to be tremendous. Big fella, everybody loves Odell. Odell is one of the most just engaging people that I've ever been around. So him being a part of this staff, he's going to have a lot of different hats and a lot of different areas that he contributes to. But his fan engagement, so to speak, is going to be one of the main ones. But then with the other guys that are newer to Old Dominion basketball, them truly getting a sense of the passion that our fan base has is incredibly important because I know what it's like to put on that jersey. I know what it's like to play in front of the great fans we have. I want them to learn that as quickly as possible because it will give us the motivation we need. Our fans deserve a winning program. Our fans deserve a team that they can identify with and want to root for. And that's, you know, I won't be able to do this by myself. Getting my staff on board with that is incredibly important.
All right, so you hit on it, the staff. We'd like to dive a little bit deeper on what you think these guys' role will be on a day-to-day basis. We'll start with the assistants. We're really big fans of Jamal, and we got to see how he worked with the big men last year. But talk to us a little bit more about your other assistants and what you think they're going to bring to the table.
Well, I'll say this. The main thing, I'll say we already have one win. And that win is there's no way that I should have been able to have the staff that we have. Like, no way. We've got as talented a staff as you can imagine, a staff that's full of people that are versatile in their talents, in their abilities, and I'd like people will find out pretty soon, but there's just no way, no way that we should have been able to get the guys that we have. So that's win number one, and that win will translate into a lot of other wins because of the people we have. I have been huge in my entire career, and when I was a head coach, I understand how valuable having people around you that you can trust, people around you that share your vision. These guys are just that. You guys have mentioned Jamal. Jamal and I have been talking for years. Like, we played against each other. We've been talking for years about just the game of college basketball, and we've talked about coaching together for a few years. So having him be able to be a part of this is good. James Robinson. James Robinson, when he graduated from DeMatha High School, he was the all-time winningest player in school's history. He has since been passed by two guys that are pretty damn good players themselves, but up to when he graduated in 2012, he was the GOAT. He was the best one ever. When I coached him, I told him that one day he was going to coach with me. Now, I thought it was going to be at DeMatha. I honestly thought that possibly one day I would retire from coaching DeMatha and James Robinson would be the person to be able to take over there. I've met with him every summer, him and one of his teammates, Cameron Taylor, every summer for the past 4 or 5 years, because I know we're getting to the end of their playing careers, to talk to them about, hey, coaching. Being able to get him, like, people I don't think understand. Like, James Robinson is the all-time leader in assist-to-turnover ratio in NCAA history. Like, he is literally one of the best point guards to play the game of basketball at the collegiate level. His ability in skill development, his ability with his basketball IQ, being able to impart that knowledge to our players, is going to be just absolutely tremendous and invaluable. His personality, his demeanor, his ability to teach and communicate, he's the superstar. As long as he's here, we're in great hands. I just honestly, I don't know how long he'll be here because he's that good of a coach. But I'm excited about the opportunity to work with him. Ryan Nadeau worked with me for 2 years at Virginia Tech. He was at Virginia Tech for, I believe, 6 years. He worked in the NBA for the Chicago Bulls. He got his career coaching started with Tom Izzo and Michigan State. Again, when you talk about talent, he has done a little bit of everything in his coaching career, from the operations side to the skill development side to the game planning and adjustments to be made at halftime. He's literally had his hand in a little bit of everything. And to be able to get someone like him to leave Virginia Tech and to come here with us again, like, it's amazing that he wanted to take this leap. But again, being able to sell what Old Dominion and our community is, it made it easier. These guys kind of understand the facilities we have are top notch. The fan base is top notch. And the vision we have for our program. We're going to win here. We're going to work our rear ends off until we become consistent winners. And then guess what? We're going to do it all over again. So I could not be happy with those coaches. And then the support staff as well. I hate to make this the longest answer ever, but
no, that's okay, Coach, because that's about where I was going. I'm fired up right now just listening about that. I'm ready to go. So let's talk about that staff.
If you look at it, Matt Hamilton was the associate head coach at Hampton University, a Division I program, and he agreed to come on as our director of basketball operations. How that happens, you're an associate head coach. You're not just an assistant. So to be able to get him is definitely a coup. So if you want to, that he's a huge reason why I think we're 1-0 already. Aiden Brahmi is a video coordinator. I worked with him for this past year at the University of Maryland. When you just talk about grinding and hard work and long hours and things like that, Aiden is somebody who I've seen do it. I don't believe I ever walked in the office at the University of Maryland and he wasn't there. I don't believe I ever walked out of the office and he wasn't there. And I thought I worked long hours. Well, you know, Aiden could have walked out 2 seconds behind me and walked in 2 seconds before me every time, but he never let me know it. So I know the work that he's going to put in. And again, his talent. We did a lot of scouting together in the past year, and his ability to do video work and breakdowns and things like that is second to none. So I'm excited about him. And then to have a Monarch great, Jason Wade, be able to join our staff as a GA. Again, I'm no dummy. I might not be the smartest one, but I'm not the dumbest one. Being able to bring him on, myself, Odell, and Jason, the fact that we wore that jersey and we know what Monarch pride is and we know what it takes to uphold the standard of what a student athlete at Old Dominion University should be. Again, I think he's going to be great. He's an old soul. He's a very mature young man. And to be able to say that I was there at the start of his coaching career, because I know he's going to go on and do great things, I'm very proud to say that.
I know from following you on Twitter and Instagram how much your relationship with God means to you.
Yeah.
But you have a former ODU basketball player who has been the team's pastor for the past few years, and I imagine he's sticking around, Kevin Swan.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. KG Swan. It's funny. So I met with Kevin that had to be the week after the press conference, so like Thursday, Friday, maybe March 4th, 5th, 6th, somewhere in there. And I literally asked him if he would remain on as our character coach, is what they're called now. And he happily accepted. But the coolest thing for me, so obviously I follow Kevin on social media, and I was very happy and proud of him when he became the pastor of his church. But the coolest thing that I've had happen to us so far, we met here as a complete staff the Saturday before the portal opened. I believe that was the 27th, if I'm not mistaken. And the very first thing we did as a staff was Pastor Swan led us in prayer. And I wanted to start like that because of my faith, because of the blessing that we all have to work at this university, but also wanted Kevin to be a part of what we did for the very first time together. And that was incredibly important to me. It was a brief prayer, but in terms of just asking for the blessing of being able to lead these young men and to represent this university the way that we hope to, being able to start off that way was incredibly important to me. So Kevin's going to be a huge part of the success we have. And again, we will have a lot of that.
That's great to hear, Coach. All right, so let's transition on to player evaluation. You know, something that's probably something that's been part of your first 30-day kind of sprint with your staff. Talk to us in Monarch Nation a little bit about player evaluations. What's going through the head, you know, your head and your coaching staffs?
I think, again, people, you know, hiring the right people to help coach was incredibly important. And now making sure we have the right people that are able to represent our vision and to actually perform our vision is incredibly important. As we went through the roster that was returning, being able to discuss with them what our vision is and to find out if they fit. But each young man has his own vision as well. So what we wanted to do had to fit what their vision is. So we've had some guys decide to leave. We've had some others through our conversations. We've come to the conclusion mutually that it was in their best interest to leave. And we're happy with everything that's happened so far. I do want the fans to know, though, like that is how that works. I know sometimes, you know, you see, he went into the portal. He went into the portal. Like, don't panic. None of this has been a surprise. It's been discussed at length with the young man. And honestly, every single person that is leaving this program, literally, it's with our blessing. We understand what this game is, and especially in the space that we're in now, and we wish them the best. We're going to get our guys in here. We're going to get our kind of guys in here that represent what we want on the floor. So we are happy with where we are as a roster right now. We already have one commitment out of the portal. He may have been the first guy to commit out of the portal, which is awesome. We're so happy about that. He is a great piece that we need. We have two young men coming in on Friday morning to visit, and we're hoping to wrap them up while they're here like we did last weekend And then we have, when they're leaving out Sunday, we have another young man coming in on Sunday. And we hope to be able to wrap him up. And if we can do that, we're hot and we want to stay hot. We're happy with where things are with the roster right now. It is definitely fluid. It'll change from day to day. More guys going to the portal. Guys make decisions on where they're going to go. But we're exactly where we want to be right now. And if you talk to me on Monday evening, hopefully I have a big smile on my face because we've got three new Monarchs.
I hope you're happy on Monday. All right. So you're talking about your vision. Part of your vision is play style. When you were hired, we're friends with Scott Jackson. We asked him, what can we expect? What will this team look like? And he said something that makes me want to ask this question. He said, you always played to what your talent was. So you played a lot of different systems over the years. But if you had to pick your style and paint the picture for fans, what will we see on the court next year?
We'll play up-tempo. To what degree that can be will depend upon who's on our team. But the one thing I've always been proud of, my staff in my head coaching years, that we all could kind of hang our hats on, was that we did play to the talent that we had. Now, we recruited to be able to play up-tempo. So, for the most part, that was the consistent factor. But, I coached Hunter Dickinson in high school. So, we obviously played a lot through him. I coached Markel Fultz in high school. So, him being the elite guard he was, we played through him. And we didn't play so much in the post during his years. And I can go down the line and keep talking about, we've had dominant wings. Like, we're going to take advantage of the players we have. The one cool thing is, and for any player that comes to play here, all of those guys were really good, but they all played team basketball. No one dominated all the shots, dominated all the minutes. My team is going to be deep. We're going to have constant competition every single day. We will have two of everything. I've said this before. I don't want Mike Jones, the point guard on our team, to be able to walk into practice knowing that he can give less than his best and not get his butt kicked. There'll be another point guard that if that player ever comes in not locked in, ready to give his best, his backup is going to kick his butt. And if it happens enough, guess what? Those roles will change and there'll be a new backup and a new starter. And I want my guys to know that. Every young man that I met with in this office talking about what the future will look like, I told them there will be competition every single day. And the days that there isn't competition, then I haven't done my job. That's the way all my teams that I was the head coach of were always, that is what they kind of knew. So when they got to the next level, they were prepared because they knew they had to bring it every single day. That is who we're going to be. And that translates to winning, because when your practices are that intense and you have to bring it, then that makes it so much easier for you to do that on game day. So, again, we're looking forward to that. That is a requirement, not a desire.
Well, when you're bringing guys in, obviously you're looking for a particular type of human being who's wired that way, Coach. So let's talk about recruiting a little bit. Now, you've obviously been lauded as a wonderful recruiter yourself, but what can fans expect on that front with regards to recruiting for Old Dominion men's basketball?
So again, I think the advantage that I will have is that I wore the jersey. I know what it takes to be successful at this place, not a place like this, but this place. So I look forward to that. The other quote unquote advantage that at least I believe I have is my relationships. When you talk about character, and you can go into a gym and see if a kid can play, but you don't truly get to know who he is. And that is the one thing that I believe I have an advantage because of my relationships with coaches around the country. I can pretty much find out about anybody and find out from people that I know are going to tell me the truth. Not, hey, I want my player to be able to go get a Division I scholarship, so I'm going to tell this coach anything I need to tell him to get that kid out of here. But people that I've known for years, that I have relationships, people that I've coached together, the advantage of a USA Basketball Network where I can call any city in this country and have someone that worked with me at USA Basketball and get a true assessment for a young man in their purview. I will take advantage of that because that's incredibly important. honestly, it saves you money too, because I don't have to go on a recruiting trip to Chicago, because I can talk to three coaches in the city of Chicago and tell me if it's worth my time coming. There's a kid in Texas, I've got coaches all over the state of Texas that will be able to give me some insight. And then, honestly, to help in the recruitment process, they can vouch for me. They know who I am. And Leonard Hamilton told me my very first recruiting weekend in 2021 when I went to Virginia Tech. He pulled me to the side and asked me how I liked it thus far, and then said, I'm just going to give you one piece of advice. The one advantage you will have over everyone else are your relationships. Mike, make sure you use that. Don't think that you're going to come in here and because you're the best basketball mind or whatever, that that's going to be what it gets it done. He said your relationships are going to be what gets it done for you. And I've taken that to heart, and he's been nothing but right. I plan to use those as much as I possibly can.
All right. So you talked about this new environment of college recruiting, and a big part of that is NIL. When you took that job at Virginia Tech, it was kind of the start of NIL in college ball. Can you talk to us about the impact you've seen it's had on teams and the whole recruiting aspect?
This episode of the Monarchist Podcast is brought to you by the Pride of ODU Collective. Their mission is to elevate the experience of student athletes through name, image, and likeness, while also elevating the fan experience. If you or your business are interested in getting involved, you can reach out to us directly or go over to theprideofodu.com. That is theprideofodu.com. Thank you for listening, and go Monarchs.
Yeah, oh man, it's crazy. So 2021 NIL and 2024 NIL, it's like somebody injected it with Red Bulls, like on a constant IV, like it's unbelievable. So it was scary, the concept in 2021. Like, we're sitting over here terrified now. Like, it's unbelievable what NIL has become. And how much of an impact a fan base and a support group can have on the success of a team that has nothing to do with ticket sales or cheering or showing up for games. Like, it has everything to do with, you know, financial support. So I'm excited because we're all playing under the same rules. So that's the cool thing. Now, there's plenty of universities that maybe have a better ability to raise money for the NIL, but we're all playing under the same rules. And if you look at it, I came into the college game right at the right time, because it's not like these other coaches have 30 years of experience that I didn't have, and I'm trying to get caught up. Like, this change happened when I came in, so we all have the same amount of experience in it. But us being able to be competitive in the Sun Belt, but then also just at a mid-major level with NIL is incredibly important to our success. That has, again, has nothing to do with wins and losses. Just so people are aware, like, I am fully immersed in the whole NIL space, but I'm never going to sacrifice the guys that represent our university that don't represent us with their character. That's going to be incredibly important to me. Again, the coolest thing is I wore the jersey. I got my degree from this place. It means something to me. This is not just a job. This is my family. This is a place that I truly care about. And because of that, I want every person that comes under this program with me as the head coach to have those same feelings when they leave here. I could not be more adamant about that.
All right, Coach. Well, if you were talking to the fans, and you are right now, what would your pitch be to Monarch Nation about why they should join the Pride of ODU Collective?
Fans, you should join the Pride of ODU Collective for a number of reasons, but the main one being that this is where the college game is. And we, as a whole, the support that you give us helps us do our job better. But have full confidence in the vision that our coaches have is that we're going to bring young men in here that you are happy to support. And you contributing to the Pride of ODU Collective you contributing to these young men that are coming in here and putting that jersey on. It's like any other investment you would make. The return on your investment is the most important thing. Well, the return on your investment by giving to our collective will be wins, will be championships. But even more importantly than that, because those are important, but the young men that get out of here and go on to hopefully professional careers in basketball, but that will go on to be men in our society, you are contributing directly to their ability to be just that, great people within our society. So I kind of feel like this is a no-brainer. This is the college space as it exists now. We all want to win. For us to be able to compete with the JMUs and the VCUs of the world and other mid-majors, we have to have your support. We cannot do it without it. So I'm looking at you. Contribute to that NIL. Help us. And I promise you, the return on your investment will be something that you're very proud of.
You got me amped up, Coach. Two of every position, competition.
So you're getting ready to write a check? Write a check right now? Is that it?
Yeah, I'm ready.
We're already members. We joined the first day, Coach.
There you go.
But yeah, two of everything, competition, high character players. It's a lot to be excited about. So as the podcast by fans, for fans, we always ask them for any questions they may have. And there's two subjects that came up quite a bit that we might not have thought about. But fans want to know if you have any changes coming to the uniforms.
No disrespect to that question. That wasn't part of my 30-day plan. So to be honest with you, I couldn't even tell you what the uniforms look like. I know the colors. I don't know. And all the things that we've had to think about and kind of get done here, we haven't gotten there yet. I'm sure at some point in time we will need to order uniforms for next season. So that will become something that does have my attention. And again, no disrespect to that question, but I have not thought a second about that as of yet. I will, but not yet. I got to make sure there's guys to put those uniforms on first. And that's where my headspace is right now.
I will put in a plug for those fans. There seems to be a big desire for us to go away from the logo look to going back to the old school look of saying Old Dominion on the jersey. So.
Okay. So how about this? I'm a man of the people, so to speak. If that's what the fans want, then we'll make sure with, I don't know the space. I don't know if we already have our uniforms or whatever, but we'll do the best job we can to make sure that we have that on at least a couple. The way it's been at other places, Maryland got new uniforms a couple times a year, so whatever. But at Virginia Tech, you got a couple of new uniforms every year, but sometimes you wore a uniform for 2, maybe 3 years. I would assume it's similar here. So Old Dominion on a uniform, I like it. That's the jersey I wore. I have a picture right over my shoulder there that one right there of me in an Old Dominion uniform, and it says Old Dominion. So I'm all for that.
All right, Coach, another topic that comes up a lot is scheduling. In the last couple of years, the schedule's been weird with, you know, VCU, you know, the Atlantic 10 teams falling off and, you know, this rivalry type of stuff. And, you know, people also, you know, ask a lot because, you know, we haven't really seen P5s come through much. Talk to us a little bit about scheduling. We know it's very complex, but what can you share about that?
Okay, so I want to be very clear. In some respect, our hands are tied, at least as we exist right now. There's been contracts, like if you've already signed a home and home or you've already signed a contract, unless I want to cost the school a lot of money to break a contract, I cannot do that. For instance, we were offered an opportunity to play in a Hoop Hall event that I would love to because of the exposure that it brings and the prestige of it and my relationship with the Hoop Hall because my DeMatha teams played in one every single year I coached. They would love to basically throw us that bone to be able to continue that on the college level. Well, we had to turn it down because of our current contractual obligations. So that will happen in the future. But I think the fans need to understand a couple of things. One, some leagues will never, as it currently exists, allow their teams to play a road game at a non-Power 5 school. Like, literally, that is a bylaw within their conference basketball rules. So I know that. We could go there and be bought. They can pay us, you know, between $70,000 and $100,000 to come play at their facility. But it's just not allowed for them to come play us here. That's difficult. With the way the net and the KenPom and all of that stuff works in terms of you getting into the NCAA tournament, I don't look forward to the problem, but as we get good, teams aren't going to want to come here that are mid-majors, like, because it doesn't help them if they come here and get their butt kicked. And we can go home and home with them and things like that, but it's very difficult for your team to be good and get them on the schedule. But believe it or not, even when you're not good, it's hard to do that because we're a team in their minds with nothing to lose and everything to gain. And they're the exact opposite. They have nothing to gain and everything to lose. So I've found already that it's not easy. Like, we had one, I won't say the name. So we have one Power 5 school that we reached out to be bought to come. And their response was, well, we're going to wait and see what your roster is first. And I'm like, it's your home game. You clear. And this is an NCAA tournament team. You really worried about the roster that we can put together here, whether or not you want to play us. But that is what we have to deal with. And I know every fan. I want to play North Carolina here. I want to play, you know, Power 5 schools here every year. I would love to do that. It's just some of it is just never going to happen. When it comes to the VCUs of the world and being able to play them, there are certain things that I guess have happened in the past that just make that unlikely. I can promise every ODU fan that every year we're going to make a phone call to try to get these teams on our schedule, and we're going to do our best to get them on our schedule. I hope to get them on our schedule. To be able to play some of these teams in Chartway would be an experience. Again, you got to remember, when I played here, we played North Carolina my senior year. We played UVA at Scope my junior year. We beat UVA at Scope my junior year. We played Virginia Tech my sophomore year. We played Alabama here my sophomore year. So, like, we did all of those things. The rules are different now. Like, some of those teams are not allowed to play us on our home court. We can play them at a neutral site. But again, now you got to convince them that it's worth their while to possibly lose to ODU. You know, if we play Virginia Tech at Richmond Coliseum, the benefit to us is much greater than the benefit to them. So you have to work within the parameters. Scheduling is always going to be fluid like that. We're going to try to have the best schedule we possibly can every year. Just like we want a team that our fans want to root for, we want a schedule that our fans want to attend. Just please know that every year we're trying to put the best schedule out possible. This year we have a choice. Again, I won't mention opponents, but we can play another home game versus playing a team starting on the road, a home and home. So in my first year, having an extra home game probably is in my best interest rather than going on the road playing at another place. But a year from now, that team would be coming back here, and, you know, maybe that would be a road game a year from now. So, like, trying to balance all of that out is again, just something that you've really got to sit down and think about what each and every decision you make means. But we are trying to put the best schedule together we possibly can. It's just, it's not easy and it's not simple.
Well, we appreciate your honesty. So we've asked this question of most coaches and we always usually get an interesting response. So if there was one rule you could change, in college basketball, what would it be?
That's a great question. I've never even thought about that. I mean, off the top of my head, it would be these conferences that are scared to play at mid-majors. I hate to say it like that, and I kind of feel like I'm in a movie and I'm trying to dare somebody into coming here. But, I mean, honestly, in some respect, that is what I'm doing. I dare you to come play us. The competitor in me would just love the opportunity to play the best. So I would love that opportunity. Being in the Sun Belt Conference, being a mid-major program, as I'm thinking about the question, I think my official answer is for there to be more opportunities for mid-major programs to get into the NCAA tournament. I'm not necessarily saying to expand the tournament, but some of those at-large bids being more accessible to teams at the mid-major level, I think would be the rule that I would want changed. There are a lot of mid-major teams that are better than some of the middle-of-the-pack Power 5 conference teams, but we never get a chance to show it. So I would love for that rule to change. And actually, I don't even know if it's a rule, but it's just the way things go. So I would want the process to change.
All right, Coach. So this is the part of our show where we have a little bit of fun. We're going to ask you some fun questions. There's no right or wrong answers, but Monarch Nation is really interested in hearing. So you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right.
I look at everything like it's a game, so I want to win. So no right or wrong answers. Don't tell me that. I want to win.
All right. So in the early 1990s, you hung out around Old Dominion, right? So what was your favorite place to hang as a student?
Honestly, the gym. I'd spend more time in the gym. I wasn't a 4400 club guy. Fried Tux had the best wings ever, but I got those delivered. At the gym.
All right. So, I mean, obviously you have a lot of great memories as a player at Old Dominion, but when you think back to your life as a student, what is that one memory that sticks out above the rest?
Playing UVA my junior year. Most people, never really got to experience the scope full. It was full. We won. The students storming the court at the end. Mario Mullen and I joke about this a lot because we got trampled. And I remember we were at the bottom of a dog pile, and I knew Mario was near me, but I didn't know where. So I was just like, "Hey, Rio, are you okay?" And he was like, "Yeah, are you good?" And I was like, "Yeah." So, it was a pretty cool moment for us. But, again, I always talk about November 4th, and I want to experience a sold-out Monarch Nation. I've experienced it as a player. I look forward to the day I can look up and not see an empty seat in Charlotte Way and knowing that we've got Monarch Nation behind us, because I think we're a pretty tough team. We will be a pretty tough team as it is, but we'd be almost unbeatable with a sold-out crowd behind us. So I would love for that to be November 4th, 2024.
Okay, Coach. So during the episodes of the basketball show, when we have the players on, I'm always curious, and Mike is always curious about the type of music they're listening to and what the latest thing. And they always give me a recommendation for what I'm going to listen to in the gym the next morning. So tell us some of your favorite music. Like, if you had to pick one, one band, or one artist, who is it that you're listening to?
So I am the most eclectic dude ever. I listen to everything, and I'm always open for suggestions. I would like to say the last thing I listened to, probably, and I hate doing this because it makes me seem really old. I don't look at myself as being old, but probably I listened to James Ingram. I think I did. So I drove down here Tuesday morning from being home for the weekend, and on the way down, I listened to James Ingram. So that's what I played most recently, but I listen to everything. I listen to rap. My guilty pleasure is, Decline. I'm sorry. Decline by Miley Cyrus. People joke with me all the time. It's a very motivational song. I like it a lot. Katy Perry, when I was a coach at DeMatha, we're playing a Christmas tournament in Portland, Oregon, and it seemed like every time we got in the car, Katy Perry's Firework would come on the radio. It was pretty cool because by the end of the tournament, the guys were singing the song. I just had so much pride and joy and those guys taking their rap music and taking it out of the equation and embracing something else. But I'll listen to rap as much as anybody else. I listen to everything. So,
all right. So we got to meet. I'm obviously a very big guy. Food is important to me. So I know you haven't been back in Norfolk very long, but have you found a favorite spot so far?
Okay, so no, I have not found a favorite spot other than, and I don't know, like, I don't want to make anybody upset, but P. Frank's is right across the street from the office. I've probably eaten there more than I've eaten anywhere else since I've been back. The convenience of it, but the food is really, really, really good. It's honestly a little dangerous because the food is so good. I need to watch that, make sure I get myself on that treadmill 4 or 5 times a week. So, but I am a admitted and proud steak snob. I love a great steak. I do judge restaurants on the quality of their steak. So I am looking forward to, I know Tony Brothers has a restaurant here in Norfolk that I've heard about. So I do plan to go and try out his steaks. It is something that I definitely look forward to. So I'm also a crab guy. Like, the size of crabs means something to me, like just being from the state of Maryland. So I love that. But I love food and just in general. But I am a certified 100% steak man, steak person.
So as a fellow steak connoisseur, that next anniversary date you have with your wife,
okay,
go to Bird and Baldwin. You won't regret that.
Okay. All right. So tomahawk, medium, that's me every day, all day. My favorite cut, and cut just the right way. I remember growing up as a youngster, and I was just like, man, it has to be well done, well done, well done. When I had my first steak that I could actually get the way I wanted it cooked, I got a medium, and I have never turned back, and I turn my nose up at anybody that gets a well-done steak. Now you might as well just eat a hamburger.
Well, speaking of hamburgers, Coach, Mike and I are big fans of P. Frank's also, and strangely enough, the Monarchist Basketball Show was born in P. Frank's.
Oh, wow.
Myself, Mike, and Coach Jeff Jones sat down at a table and constructed what this would look like. So, and we love that place for a number of different reasons.
That's awesome. But again, I hate to be a commercial for them because I'm not getting paid to do that, but their food's really good. Like, it's,
it is. So I've got one more question, and Mike will close us out unless he surprises us with another. All right, and we asked this question too. So I don't know that we asked Coach Jones this question, though. If we were going to sit down and watch a basketball movie, what's the one basketball movie that you're going to put, I would say not in the VCR, but what are you going to hit play on for us?
That is a great question. So it's going to depend upon my mood. Fast Break. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that. That is an old, again, I'm showing my age a little bit. There's some basketball movies where the basketball is so bad. Like, the actors, like, they're just bad. They're great actors, but bad basketball players. So there's some great movies that just have bad basketball, so I won't mention those. That's a tough one. And if you hadn't asked me that, I probably could reel off a couple answers. I love Hoosiers. I love the story of it. If I am flipping channels and it's on, like, it's going to be hard for me not to stop and actually watch it until the end. Above the Rim is a really good basketball movie because there are basketball players in there that I know. They're good. But if I were to just do one, it probably would be Blue Chips. Again, just the superstar players that are in that movie. It's about college basketball, so that obviously resonates with me, but I'd probably go Blue Chips.
It's a good answer. Classic movie for me. But you're right. There's a lot of great basketball players in that movie. Because, I mean, Bobby Hurley was on that Indiana team they played.
Yeah. Yeah, Bobby Hurley. I have a bone to pick with Calvert Chaney because of his time at the Wizards and a shot he missed that could have extended the series with the Chicago Bulls 1 year. So I have a healthy dislike for Calvert Chaney. It's not fair to him. He's a great dude. He's on Indiana staff now, but he was in the movie as well. Obviously, Penny Hardaway, who was supposed to coach the Hoop Summit with me 1 year, but then he got the job in Memphis, and then all the other guys. Yeah, that definitely had some dudes in it.
All right, Coach. So thank you so much for joining us tonight. We can't wait to see you back on the floor for ODU. Do you have a message for Monarch Nation to close us out with?
I absolutely have a message for Monarch Nation. Please, November 4th, show up, show out. You will be proud of the team we put on that floor. They will play their hearts out for you. I promise you that. And I'd love it for it to be sold out every time we go in there. But let's sell out November 4th, and we'll give you a reason to come back the very next home game. But November 4th, November 4th, November 4th. In my life, it's going to be a holiday. We need your support. Please be there. It will be a great game, and you will be proud of the team we put on that floor. November 4th. See you there.
All right, Coach. Thanks again. We're fired up. We'll be there on November 4th. And go Monarchs.
Yes, sir.
Go Monarchs.